The kids play. It's going to be great. We do have a testimony, and we're going to be getting into some tithe and offering also. Can we have Nina and JJ come on up?
Whoever comes on Sunday nights to the prayer book deal, whoever's here at the last one where we prayed, remember, stood in agreement, Matthew 18:19, bring your book tonight. I got to tell y'all something, okay? Amen. So please, if you are here, bring your book, whatever you wrote down that we all agreed on, bring your book. That way I can let y'all know something. It's kind of important. Amen.
Right. Hallelujah. God is good, guys. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Definitely there's a fullness of joy when you're in God's presence, right? And this is I'm JJ. This is my wife, Nina, my kids. They just asked us to share some testimonies with you this morning. So do you want to start off with a couple?
Hello. So we had a really amazing miracle happen on Wednesday night. So Shane right here, he had this strange thing for a few years, 2 or 3 years. And it was like a bent thumb. Like it just was like this locked up for years. And we went to the doctor and they're like, it's called trigger finger and it's just out of the joint. And, you know, he might need surgery by school age. So that's all they could do. So we just were praying about it. And we've actually prayed about it for a few years. And we would see partial healings of it. And then it would go right back. And I think it's really awesome that in kids' church, they've been talking about healings. And so we have it here. So Wednesday night before it started, he comes up to me and he's like, Mom, my thumb. And I'm like, what? And he's like, look. And it's like straightened out. And yeah. So, and like every day it's getting better. It doesn't hurt him anymore. And he's actually school age now. So God had the perfect timing. So, and here's his little thing. They did a cross and they put Jesus Christ heals me. And he put bent thumb. So, so praise God.
Tell him about the jet ski, how they were praying about it. No, what about the, in the car? So what did the kids say in the car? Like, this is another awesome just testimony and miracle, because I didn't even know their kids were praying for this until it happened. I'm like, what the?
So we were in the car, and they're talking about going to the river and stuff, and they're like, I want jet skis. And I'm like, well, we need to pray about it then. So we started praying about it, and they're even naming colors. And so I'm like, okay, we're just going to pray about it, and we're going to give it to God. And we got blessed with jet skis within a week. So, praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah, 2 jet skis, guys, and it's been awesome. I love it because I just love jet skis, period. But I was like, that's what you guys were praying for? All right, I also need another house. And it's but glory to God, that childlike faith, guys, it's just amazing. So, thank you guys, and I'll give you some more testimonies, but also transition to some tithe and offering for you guys here. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to start off and pray really quick. Thank you, Lord, for this time together we have here to gather as a family, God. Thank you for this family Sunday. Like I said, there's nothing more greater than your presence, God. It is the most important thing. Nothing in this world comes close to being in the presence of you, Jesus. And we thank you. I ask that you help guide our tongues today, that you speak through us, and that your word comes out before today. In Jesus' name, amen. So just really quick, I work at a company, and this is a really cool testimony. I used to work in the parking lot, and it got really hot out there. I'd gather carts and stuff and burn my hands and get dehydrated. I wanted to work on my faith, and I knew, I was like, I'm going to trust God for something. So this is my coconut water story. I've told some of you before. Someone knows personally because I told her in the store. She works for me. But I said, hey, I'm going to believe God for some coconut water. I don't know how I'm going to get this water, but I believe I'm going to get it. And so I went to Lynette, who works with me, and I was like, hey, I'm going to build my faith here. I'm going to trust God for some coconut water. I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I feel like he's going to bless me some coconut. We're like, okay. And this is back in like February. And then weeks go by, months go by, and I kind of forget about it. And I'm like, man, I can't even believe God for coconut water. My faith is so bad. Like, I gotta go backwards, man. I got to start with anything even smaller than coconut water, because obviously I can't even believe this. But no, God remembered it. Even if I'm unfaithful, God always remains faithful. And just in the last couple weeks of July, it was even hotter then. And one morning, my person I work with outside comes up to me. Hey, I got this coconut water from you. Someone gave it to me to give to you. Where did it come from? I don't know. They just told me to give it to you. glory to God. This is like in the morning. I'm like, immediately God reminded me, hey, that coconut water that you've been asking for. I was like, hallelujah. So immediately I went to Lynette and I was like, hey, Lynette, guess what? I got that coconut water finally. It's glory to God. So that was just an amazing story. But not just that. God did not just stop at the coconut water. The same day, and this not just this day I was actually planning on calling off. I wasn't even wanting to go to work that day. I don't know why. I had other plans. But I woke up that morning, I was like, I feel like I should go to work today. And I canceled the other plan that I was going to call off for. I went to work. The coconut water thing happened. And then later that day, I got a promotion and a raise at my job. I got promoted to air conditioning. Woo! Bullhead City air conditioning is valuable around here. But not just any raise, a raise higher than my boss who's been working there 16 years is making. And she looked at me, she's like, do you see this? I said, yeah. She's like, I don't know this is possible. I was like, but she believes in God. She's like, that's definitely from God. And I was like, yes, it is. Amen. Hallelujah. And it just, and another boss pulled me in this next day. He's like, I've been here over 12 years. I've never seen anything like this. And I'm like, well, I don't even know if he's a Christian, but I was like, glory to God, because God takes care of me and it takes all of my needs. So, just like my faith, the best way I could describe my faith with God and stuff is like kind of going to the gym. When you first go to the gym, you go to the workout, you come home, you look in the mirror, nothing happens. Nothing different. You go the next day, you go to the gym, you work out, you come home, nothing different. But there comes a time, I don't know the exact time, that consistency, you start seeing difference and you start seeing change in your body. That's like my faith, you know. You start off small, and even though my faith wavers and shakes sometimes, and I forget about it, I can stay consistent with it, and I know what God promises me, and I know He always takes care of me. And just with like tithe and offering, I'll go into the tithe and offering message. I know I'm still talking about the testimonies, but it's just the same thing. Like, if you're obedient in giving, me and my wife have been obedient in giving, not because God wants my money. It's because He wants my heart. God always looks after the heart. He's always after the heart. So if you guys have your Bibles, I want to look at a passage really quick. Luke 18, chapter 18, verse 9. I'm reading out the NLT version today. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it reads, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all my income. But that tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. He prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow. Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, like in Matthew 6:27, it says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God does not need your money. If you look in Revelation 21:21, it talks about the New Jerusalem. The streets are paved with gold, pure gold, clear as glass. He definitely doesn't need our money. He's got an abundant supply. If their pavement is gold, He's got enough to take care of all our needs, guys. So I just encourage you guys to be obedient to God's word. It is the truth. It's the only perfect thing in this world. And there's nothing more valuable than being in God's presence and His love. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for the tithe and offering this morning. I just ask that everyone pours their heart out, Lord, to you, God. And we just ask that you multiply and that you see their heart, Lord, and you take care of all their needs and more than just their needs, all their wants as well, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. It's been a good service already. The anointing of the Lord is in this place. Amen, amen. If you haven't seen me up here normally, I am back with the kids right now. It has been exciting. It has been fun. Hallelujah. I was texting a mom, and we were having a little conversation. I was telling her about the testimony that one of her kids had, and we were texting back and forth, and she said these words, "For such is the kingdom of God." Whew, hallelujah. If you want to experience a new perspective on the kingdom of God, work in the children's department because it will give you that true sense of love and joy. Hallelujah. Childlike faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, we're going to be talking about the hard places. Now, some of you might be thinking the hard places for a family service with, you know, kids and everything doesn't sound like a very fun message, but we're going to be talking about the hard places. So we're going to pray before we get into the word. Amen. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence and your anointing in this place. I thank you, Lord, that when I open my mouth, Lord, you fill it. Hallelujah. It is your words from your throne this morning that will be spoken out to us, that we receive it. We prepare our hearts right now by faith to receive the word that you have for us. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, so some of you might be thinking, the hard places, really? Why do we have to talk about that? Well, you know, we all go through hard places, and our kids go through hard places, hard times. Amen. Oh, do I have... Oh. Hallelujah. There we go. Okay, thank you. Glory to God. So the hard places, and there is statistic after statistic about our kids with the self-harm and suicide and all of those other things, because maybe we have not preached on, maybe we have not told them or maybe encouraged them or told them that there are some hard places. But guess what? God delivers us out of them all. Hallelujah. And we need to be given our children. Yes, there are some hard places in life, but guess what? We're going to get through it. It's okay. Hard places, they come and go. We have Jesus. We have that hope. Amen. Glory to God. Let's turn to Psalms 34:19. We're going to stay in mainly the King James Version, Heather, but I will let you know. But King James Version for right now. This is one of those scriptures that maybe a lot of Christians know, maybe some non-Christians or people that maybe grew up with a grandma that knows the word, but sometimes we only hear half of this verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, if you're having a hard day or something, someone comes around you, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what's the next half of that verse? But the Lord delivered him out of them all. That's the last half of the verse. We cannot leave that out. Hallelujah. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And Heather, I'm going to do that New King James Version because it's a little easier on me with the these and the thous. And we, yes, I appreciate everything that King James did, but I'll do the New King James Version, please. So... Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:12. This is one of those scriptures that, you know, you open up your Bible and it's almost like scribbled out at first. Like, why did I scribble out this scripture? And then you start reading it. Oh, okay. Okay, I know now. We've grown in the Lord. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's in there, people. That's in the Bible. That is in the Bible. Yes, and all who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus. We all should be desiring to live godly and to pursuing more and more deeper to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. But guess what? We will suffer persecution. Okay? We will go through those hard places. We will go through those hard times. So before we really go on, let's figure out what persecution, what suffering, and actually, if you were here last week with Pastor Ricky, he taught on be settled. Man, it is good. It is that meat of the word. It will get you to another place in your life. That was so awesome. So actually, I just kind of stole all those notes from him, and we're talking about it some more because it is good. But hallelujah. We're talking about suffering. We're talking about afflictions. We're talking about hard times, bad days. Okay? Now, we do not take on what Jesus already took for us.
Amen.
If Jesus bore it, we do not have to bear it. Hallelujah. What did Jesus take to the cross? He took our sin. Yes. Glory to God. He took our sickness. Yes. By his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
And he took poverty.
Yes.
Jesus was made poor so that we could be made rich. He hung on a tree for us. Hallelujah. So he took sin, sickness, and poverty for us. He bore it. We do not have to bear it. So when we're talking about suffering, when we're talking about afflictions, when we're talking about hard places, we are not talking about those things that Jesus took and redeemed us from. Hallelujah. We're talking about persecutions. All right? Afflictions. Those things that come to us that way. So persecutions, what does it mean? Hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs. That is persecutions.
Yes.
Okay, we just need to make sure we get that clear. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:10. 2 Timothy 3:10. Hallelujah, God is good.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. Manner of life.
Yeah.
Are we carefully following his doctrine? Are we carefully following his manner of life? Purpose. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Purpose. Faith. Glory to God. Long suffering, amen. Who knows, we're still kind of working on that one. It's an everyday kind of, amen. Love, amen. Perseverance, glory to God. Verse 11, here we go. Are we ready? Buckle up. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. Underline that. Amen. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So when you feel like you're in a place of persecution, affliction, out of them all, the Lord delivers me. If you are going through a hard place, write this down. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your mirror. Put it in your car. Out of them all, the Lord delivers me. Hallelujah. Verse 12 here. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Yeah, amen.
But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, and deceiving and being deceived. How many knows? We feel like we're in those days. Amen. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. He's telling us here at Spirit Life Church in Bullhead City. But you must. You must. We must continue in the things which we have learned and been assured of. Glory to God. Knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I also say that when he says wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, salvation, yes, spiritually, so we can go to heaven and live eternity. Hallelujah. But also salvation from those hard places, those persecutions that he has mentioned, those afflictions that he has mentioned.
Yes.
Glory to God. We serve a saving God. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's put what he's talking about, these persecutions and afflictions, into perspective. We're going to put this in a little bit of perspective, because here in America, sometimes we feel like someone said something negative about us, and we feel like that's persecution. And it could be. But let's see what Paul went through. Okay, are we ready for this? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:24. 2 Corinthians 11:24. Yes, here in America, we can have a bad day. We can have a really bad day. We can have a bad year. There's major things that happen in our life, and we do not want to minimize that or something, but we understand people go through very hard, hard things. Yep. Hallelujah. But we're going to put this in a little perspective here. 2 Corinthians 11:24. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. From the Jews, 5 times. He received 39 stripes. Yeah. 5 times. Yeah. 5 times. Woo. It's a bad day. Yeah. 3 times. I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And let me assure you, it wasn't just throwing a rock. They were trying to kill him. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I had been in the deep. I can only imagine. I mean, maybe if they had phone calls or phones back then, maybe his mom calling. And, hey, mom, yeah, I have to take another boat out of the country. Thinking what his mom's thinking. Why can't you take your camel? Mom, I sold my camel so I can go on the mission field. Well, rent one down there at the rent a camel. Don't take a boat. Remember the last 2 times when you took a boat, they both shipwrecked. And you were out to sea for a whole day and a whole night. I mean, maybe she asked, how are you healing from the last stoning? I mean, these are normal people. These are people like us that stood and did what God had told them to do and persevered through hard times, amen, and these afflictions and these persecutions and these things that would happen to them, and persevered and was made stronger, hallelujah. Let's continue here. So 2 Corinthians 11:26. This is normal people. We're putting this in perspective. Hallelujah. In journeys often, in perils of waters. So perils, you can think of dangers. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen, his own people. In perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness. Sometimes we get weary, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst. In fasting often, probably not by his own choice, in cold and nakedness. Yeah. Besides the other things, he's saying, besides all that, what comes to me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Yeah. The call that was on his life. We are all called. We have the command from Jesus, go out and tell them the good news. Amen. That is what we all need to be doing every day. He put all that aside, and that's some major things to put aside. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I love verse 29, and I was talking to Pastor Ricky back in the back. Verse 29, it says, who is weak? I am not weak. Yeah. Glory to God, who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 5, 3 through 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And if I could have Amplified, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We love babies in this place. Amen. Amen. They are precious. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Can you turn to your neighbor and say now?
Now.
Turn to somebody else and say now.
Now.
Full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Oh, hold on here. Let us exalt and trouble. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Really? Is that what the Bible says? Yes. That means we can. We can have joy when we're going through some tough times, some hard places. Amen. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Glory to God. Some of us need to start rejoicing. We might be in a time of suffering. We might be in this hard place. Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient. Produce patient and unswerving endurance. So what does this all produce? Patient and unswerving endurance. Glory to God. Patience is a very powerful fruit of the Spirit. I don't know why we have it in our mind that somehow patience is not. It is a powerful force of the Holy Spirit that we can develop in our life. Patience. Hallelujah. Verse 4 here. And endurance, fortitude, glory to God, develops maturity of character. Glory to God. Pastor Ricky says some backbone. You need to get some backbone to you. Amen. This means sometimes we have to go through some hard places. You're going to get some backbone. You're going to develop a mature character.
Yes.
When you say something, you actually do it. When you know that I need to, you know, whatever the case may be, there's so many things, but I think the easiest one that we can all work on right now is when we say something, we do it. Yeah. We are trustworthy. We are faithful. We are people of our word because we are a reflection of God Almighty.
Yeah.
And God, when he says something, he means it and he does it. Amen.
Yeah.
Develops maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity.
Amen.
Integrity. That means when you do something, whatever you do in front of people, you do the same thing behind closed doors. So whatever you do behind closed doors is the same of what everybody else sees. That's called integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Amen. There's that word again, joyful. Joyful. Joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation.
Amen.
Such hope never disappoints.
Never.
Glory to God, never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. Amen. For God's love, it always goes back to God's love. Amen. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He's on the inside of us, helping us. He is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Unswerving endurance, confidence. God did it last time, he'll do it again. That's why we start with the little things like the testimony about the coconut water.
Amen.
I mean, that builds confidence when we start believing God for things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. And let's start at verse 1. We can do the New King James with this one, please. Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you. Can we say me?
Me.
But now, thus says the Lord, who created me, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Amen. Glory to God. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Amen. There is a story about redemption. When my parents were doing full-time children's ministry, and they used to do children's events and conferences and that kind of thing, and they had these big canvases that they told stories on, and they had a black light under there. Do you remember that as a kid? Yeah. And so they would shine that black light, and they would tell this story, and I called my mom because I was like, Mom, what is that story that you used to tell about the little boy in the boat? And she told me the story again. I got tissue. I'm good. I knew it was going to happen at some point. It always does. Thank you, Lord. But I knew that there was a story that she used to tell us about redemption. And in kids' class, you're always telling stories, right? Because kids love stories. But adults love stories, too. So there was this father and this son. And this father thought it'd be a great idea to build a toy boat, to build a toy boat. And they live next to a river, kind of like we live next to a river. And so the dad and the son, they would make time and they would build this toy boat, and it'd be so awesome. And they imagine putting it in the river, and they got their little nails out, and they got the paint, and they painted it, and it took weeks, but it was really great bonding time, and it turned out beautiful. They put the shellac over it, and it was shiny, and it actually floated. The dad said, don't go out to the river and put it on the river yet. Don't do that. Wait till I get home, and then we're going to do it together. So they made a day, and they said, okay, this is the day we're going to go out there and do that. Well, on the way to school one day, he had put that boat in his backpack, and he thought, know what? Dad will never know, right? And he, on his way to school, he's walking by, and he's next to that river, and he's like, I'm just going to float it down the river a little bit. So he puts it in the river, and the current takes the boat. He can't get it, and he loses it. He searches and he searches, and he knew he had to tell his dad what he had done. Sorry, one second. Here we go again. So he knew he had to tell his dad what had happened. He went to school, and he knew that when he got back, when his dad got back from work, he was going to have to tell his dad. He lost the boat. The boat that they had worked weeks on, he lost it. Dad comes home, tells his dad. His dad wraps his arms around him, says, it's okay, son. Well, one day, as the boy is going through town, he walks by all the stores that he normally walks by, and all of a sudden he looks in this toy store, and there is his boat. He's like, there is my boat. That is the colors that I painted on there. That is the exact thing. There's my nail that went sideways when I tried to put it in there. He knew that was his boat. So he goes in there, rushes in there. He talks to the store owner, and he says, that is my boat. My dad and I made that boat. That is my boat. And he said, well, I'm sorry, son, but someone else brought that boat in here, and now it's for sale. You're going to have to buy that boat. He rushes home. He tells his dad, I found our boat. He tells him what the store owner said about how he's going to have to buy back the boat. So his dad said, okay, well, know what? Maybe old lady across the street needs some leaves to be raked up. Maybe her lawn needs to be, maybe you can take out the trash for her, you know, but you're going to have to buy the boat back. Weeks go, he finally gets that money. He took out that trash, he mowed that yard, he raked in those leaves, and he had that money. He went back over, and every day through, as he was leaving school or whatever, he'd walk past that toy store to check to see if his boat was still there. And it was. He had that money, he ran over there, he set it down on that counter, and he said, I'm buying that boat back. And he was able to put it in a bag. He ran home and he showed his dad that boat. His dad and him, hallelujah, glory to God, were able to go out, put that boat on the river, and enjoy the rest of the time they had with that boat and those memories and everything else. But there is a correlation here. There is something that we see that Jesus and God did for us. That God made us, hallelujah. We have sinned, we've all sinned, we've done things that we should not have done. We have separated ourselves from God. And there was a point in time that we had to be bought back. That is called redemption. That is called being redeemed. We were able to be bought not just with money or anything else, but the blood of Jesus Christ that paid our price. That we were, so Jesus went in and paid the price for us, glory to God, that we could be in fellowship, in communion with God again, hallelujah, and have those days of success and victory and joy and peace in our life forevermore, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. So let's read this again. Let's go to Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. Let's read it in the Message, please, this time. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. Glory to God. I've called your name. You're mine. You're in over your head. Sometimes, who has felt like that sometimes? You're in over your head. I'll be there with you. Hallelujah. You're in rough waters. You will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Glory to God. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not alone in this life. You are not alone in this life. Hallelujah. It might feel like you're at a dead end job, dead end, you know, whatever you're doing. Feels like whatever you do, it's just a dead end again. That is a lie from Satan. Because God tells us right here, hallelujah, when you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Yes. So all of you that are thinking you're at a dead end, no, you're not. Amen. You're not. Hallelujah. If you've been in the rough waters, if you've been going through the fire, hallelujah, God is there with you. Amen. Hallelujah. By the saving power of Jesus, the delivering power of Jesus Christ, you will get through it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We will get through it. Yes. We need to be telling our children this too. This is a hard place, but guess what? We're going to get through it. Yes. You're going to get stronger, stronger character. Yeah. You have a backbone. Hallelujah. You're going to stand up, dust yourself off. We will not be moved, amen? Amen? We are unswerving, hallelujah. The anchor holds because we are rooted in the Word of God. Glory to God. We will not back down. We are not going to give up. We will not bend a knee to the devil. Amen. We are unmovable, hallelujah. And sometimes you just need to declare those things. We are unmovable. I am not going to be moved from the situation that I am in right now. But first thing does come first. You have to know Jesus Christ as Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord, yes, there's no hope. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is what you are looking for. You've tried it your own way. Your emotions are a disaster. Your life is a disaster. Your family's a disaster. Your work is a disaster. But guess what? Jesus is a master at fixing disasters. Hallelujah. Jesus is the master at fixing disasters.
Yeah.
He is. And you need to have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life.
Amen.
Okay? Hallelujah. I'm going to call the worship team up to the stage. Today, it was really impressed on my heart to be able to have a time of prayer for families, for people that feel like they're in a hard place. So I'm going to pray. And if you need Jesus as Lord, I want you to come down to the front. If you have been finding yourself in a hard place, I need you to come down to the front. There are things that are going to be released this morning that I believe were already prepared as we were in prayer this morning. There was just a powerful move of the Holy Spirit this morning in prayer. There is freedom for you this morning.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is here for you this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is deliverance this morning. There is encouragement this morning for you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to make our way down to the front. Amen. Father God, hallelujah. Right now, says in your word, today is the day of salvation. We're not going to wait any longer. Hallelujah. If you need Jesus as Lord, you need to make a stand. You need to have that backbone that we talked about. Hallelujah. We can stand for different things in life, and we have stood for different stuff, stupid stuff in the world, but we need to make a decision, a heartfelt, a spirit decision to put you Lord of our life, that we surrender our life to you from the mess that we've made it in and put it in your hands, Father God. So if that is you, come down to the front. Also, if you have felt like you have been in a hard place, going through a hard time, dealing with some crazy kids, dealing with some sickness that's tried to attack your body, dealing with some hard workplace situation, those kind of things, we need to make our way to the front right now. Hallelujah. Church, if we can stand to our feet, we're going to just be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be praying for the people that are going to be up front here. Hallelujah. There is deliverance in this place. Amen. There is freedom in this place. There is joy. Hallelujah. There is joy. Amen. Like the scripture that we read about, we can have joy in those hard places. We're not going to stay in the hard places. Amen. It says we walk through that valley of the shadow of death. That does not mean we stay there. That does not mean we make a house there. That means we walk through it. We are getting through it. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky, I'm going to have you come up here also. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So you guys can just worship, and we're going to pray. I'm going to turn.
Healing rain is falling.
Hallelujah.
Down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling down.